Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. It always amazes me the length to which parents will go, and thank God that they do. Adoptive parents will go to such lengths to have that child or those children. Adoption is not easy. I don't know why it is so terribly hard. It's hard financially. It's hard legally. It's hard logistically. And that's just the beginning. That's just to bring the child into your family. And yet so many parents are willing to do it. Not simply because they want children, but because these children need parents. It's a two-way street there. We're going to talk about adoption for the next half hour of Issues Etc. with Pastor Joel Frisch. He has an interesting story, kind of a two-sided story to tell about adoption. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, I'm Adopted. Joel, welcome back.
Good to be here, Todd.
We'll get to the kind of real adoption a little bit later, but you're not adopted, but you have a long experience with adoption. Tell us about it.
Well, I'm one of four siblings, and I'm the only one of those four who is not adopted. My three older siblings were adopted. My parents had had difficulty conceiving, and so they adopted three times, two boys and a girl. And then just a few years after they had adopted my sister, I was my mom's case of the flu. And so my brother, as we were growing up, always liked to give me a hard time and tell me, you know, since I was the only one not adopted, I was the natural born child in the family, that I was the chosen one. So I tend to think the other way. They were the chosen ones. But so adoption, have experience in my background with adoption in our family growing up. And that gave me a lot of wisdom, especially as I talked to my parents, as my wife and I ourselves prepared to go through the process of adoption. So having that family background and the wisdom of my parents who went through the adoption process was really beneficial to my wife and myself.
You have adopted two siblings, and you're adopting the third sibling. Is that correct?
We adopted two boys in 2008 from Russia, and actually in September of this year, we just brought home their baby brother, so we completed our current adoption.
Okay. It's not easy. In fact, it is really, really hard to do, from the parent's standpoint, to adopt children. Talk about that, if you would.
Oh, boy. Yes, it is not an easy journey to embark upon. There are so many things that the adoptive parents need to do in order to prepare. Financially is a huge commitment, so you need to prepare financially for an adoption. Now, we adopted from Russia, one of the probably more expensive of countries to adopt from. So financial preparations were necessary, but then the mountains and mountains of paperwork, having your life probed into, your health, your psychological state, all of these things we had to see doctors, psychologists fill out tons and tons of papers. There's almost no end to it, and the Russians are very meticulous about paperwork, so sometimes when you do a document once or maybe twice, you may end up redoing it again and again until it's absolutely perfect. Gosh, the sacrifices you have to make, both financial, time commitments, all of those things really just add up and can be extremely stressful, but certainly worth the end goal.
And then being a parent too, adopted children can often have its own unique challenges. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. When we adopted our first two boys, Slav and Sergei, back in 2008, they were a little bit older, 3 and 5 years old at the time. So, and they had been in institutions, in orphanages, for almost 2 years, both of them. And so when you adopt a child that's been institutionalized, you know, you have a lot of things to work at. They need to learn what it means to have a mom and a dad, what it means to have parents, what it means to live in a family. They've really never known these things. They have to learn how to attach to parents, to look for the, look to them for to provide for their needs and to receive the love that they need, the nurture that they need as they grow old. So those things present challenges in themselves. Thankfully, our challenges weren't too great. Our boys adapted quite well, quite quickly. Being from Russia, they had to learn a complete new language, so they were immersed in a new culture, new family, new language, everything. With a lot of prayer and hard work and support of family and friends, it really came together well, and that really influenced us to adopt again, especially when we found out the boys had a baby brother. And having gone through that before gave us a lot of experience for what we're going through now.
A lot of people talk about adoption and the almost insurmountable hurdles that face people this legally, logistically, financially, in order to adopt children. And they think, well, it's because I want kids so bad. But talk about the other side of that coin, that these kids need parents.
They do. There are tons and tons of children, you know, not just in Russia, but all over the world, who need loving parents. They need moms and dads who will provide for them, who will care for them as Christians, who will bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Speaking to Russia specifically, the children who do survive in life after orphanage, many of them turn to crime, drugs, prostitution, pretty bad ways of life. And the difference that it can make adopting these children, having them in a family, gives them, you know, a new lease on life, gives them hope where there really isn't much hope in their current conditions in the orphanages.
The parallel there, and it's not one that we have to draw ourselves, one that's drawn by Scripture in particular, when it likens God's saving us, bringing us into His family, to adoption, not only in terms of the sacrifice required, but also what we're saved from. Talk about those things.
Yeah, well, Scripture says that we're born dead in our trespasses and sins. We're hostile to God, enemies of God. God created us to be His children. Sin destroyed that. Sin drove that wedge between creator and creature so that we no longer live for Him or for one another, but for ourselves. So lost in that dead condition, God doesn't leave us there. God, in the fullness of time, sent His Son, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive the full rights of sons, it says in Galatians 4. So God adopts us, literally, places us as sons, as His children once again, giving us everything that we don't deserve.
And this new life, you talked about the new life that is there for your sons. Mm-hmm. Opportunity, hope, prospects that they never would have experienced had they remained orphans. What is the new life then in detail for the Christian now adopted by our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ?
Oh, now we get to live in God's grace. We get to receive all the blessings that Christ won for us on the cross, to have eternal life with God. It doesn't necessarily mean our lives on this earth will be easy by any means. As Paul talks about adoption in Romans chapter 8, he had just finished talking about that struggle that the new creature has with the old Adam. And then he goes on in Romans 8 as he talks about us being adopted as sons, and how now we can cry out to God, our Father, and trust Him for all things. Yet still he talks about the sufferings that we may encounter in this life. But we have a hope beyond all of that that clings to Jesus Christ and an eternal future with Him. Paul says in Romans 8 that we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So we have much more than what is ours in this life. We have resurrection and life with God in the body to look forward to for eternity. That's awesome.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, another 10 minutes with Pastor Joel Frischi talking about adoption. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois, and he's authored an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, I'm Adopted. Our call-in number, live this Wednesday, November the 16th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @IssuesETC. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll spend the first few minutes talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about feminism and the 40th anniversary. Then a sermon review, a sermon preached for the last Sunday of the church year.
That God bless the broken road that led me straight to you.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking adoption with Pastor Joel Frischi, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled, I Am Adopted. Now, we've turned to the subject of, I think we can call it the greater adoption, because our adoption really is only a pale comparison, a pale shadow of the adoption that God has effected for us in Jesus Christ. If only in this sense, Pastor Frischi, and please correct me if I'm wrong, although your sons will always be your sons, they are that legally, and the bond of parental love and the family is as much a family as any other. They'll never be your biological sons. That can't be. But God has actually given us this new birth wherein we really truly become sons of, in a far greater way than by any connection of biology, where we really are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Pharisees and scribes always claim to be the true children of Abraham, and Jesus said to them, out of these stones we can raise up children of Abraham. And God has done better than that for us. He has made us His children by the blood of Christ, by baptizing us into Christ, by burying us with Him and raising us with Him, so that we now truly belong to Him through all that Christ has done. This word adoption that you find in the New Testament, Paul uses it about five times. It literally means to place as sons. In Christ, God has placed us as sons with all the rights and privileges there are as children of God, and that's amazing.
Is this why the very gospel writer who will emphasize this the most, John, to become mm-hmm. children of God, right there in the first couple chapters of his gospel, is also so careful to point out that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God? Is he making that connection for us to say that through the true, eternally begotten Son of God in the flesh and through his sacrifice for us, we become as much sons as he is a son of the Father?
Yeah, I think you're right. And we're joined to Christ, joined to him and his body through baptism, members of his body with him as our head. It can't get any better than that. To belong to our Savior in that way, to be joined with him by baptism, to strengthen that bond as we receive his body and blood, and are bodied and blooded together with him. We literally receive his life in the flesh.
Joe is listening in St. Louis. Joe, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi, Todd. I'm interested in this. My two children are adopted. What, if your guest knows, was the culture surrounding the church in the sense of the Roman culture with adoption, how it was treated, and what influence did that have on, I guess, you know, Paul using the adoption speech and that kind of thing in his writing? Thanks.
It's a great question, Joe. Thank you very much. Pastor Frischi.
I can't speak to much about, you know, the Greek and Roman culture, you know, itself and the background there. I know the word itself that Paul uses, sweothesia, is a Greco-Roman legal term means that you're granted the full rights and privileges of sonship in a family to which you don't belong by birth. So, you know, that was a legitimate term that was used, that Paul borrowed, I suppose, in his epistles when he made use of it. That's about as much as I can comment on, you know, the cultural part of that. I don't know a lot about the actual cultural background of adoption at that time.
Was it necessary to baptize any of your children after they were adopted? Were they already baptized?
As far as we know, they were not baptized. We asked a lot of questions about that. From what we know, children who have been baptized, say in the Russian Orthodox Church over there, priests do visit some of the orphanages and do baptize, but usually the child is in possession of a little cross if they're baptized, and our boys had, none of our boys had that, so they were baptized pretty soon after we arrived home.
So you had the opportunity to have these two adoptions really as close together in time for your kids
mm-hmm.
as could possibly be. What were your thoughts at the time, baptizing, adopting into God's family children that you had just adopted into your family?
Yeah, it was a great parallel there, certainly. Something that my wife and I were thinking about. We thought about it again as we adopted our latest son, Andre, because when we adopted previously, I was not in a parish at the time serving as a pastor, but this time I had my congregation sort of along for the ride, and it was very clear to them. They got the opportunity to see Andre become part of an earthly family, and then they were there to witness and encourage us as Andre became part of the Lord's family through the waters of holy baptism. So even as they supported us financially and with their prayers and everything, they got to see something even bigger than an earthly adoption. They got to see a little child become a member of God's kingdom, and that was pretty amazing, and that was a pretty powerful illustration for them as a congregation to see.
We spoke earlier in our conversation about the obstacles. Not all of them are obstacles, uh-huh. but they are certainly difficulties of all different kinds that face parents who want to adopt. But with that said, Pastor Frischi, speak a word of encouragement to Christian parents who may have thought about it, whether they're childless or not, a word of encouragement to seriously consider this.
Some people will look at the whole process, both financial and paperwork and all of the time that it takes to do it all, and they'll say, oh, that's impossible. We can't do it. But it is possible. It's amazing to see how God's people, how family, friends, parishioners, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ support those who are adopting, not just for us as we adopted, but I read about it on, we've gotten to know a lot of people through adoption blogs, and stories are similar. You know, people rally together in support, and with that kind of support of people both financially and with prayer, it's doable. I mean, financially speaking, I'm a pastor. I'll never be a rich man. The Lord enabled us to do this, to bring this these children home from Russia. Time-wise, you just make time. You use some of your vacation time. You use days off, and you run around doing the paper chasing and all that. But it's always before you is that end goal of the joy of bringing home that child, providing a home for one who doesn't have one, and being able to give love to a child who is otherwise unloved. And it's doable. So I would encourage those who are thinking about it to not be too overly concerned about the obstacles and that whatever they may be.
Pastor Joel Frischi is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled I'm Adopted. Thanks for being our guest.
Hey, good to be here. Thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you're looking for a great Christmas gift for a high school or a college-age kid, grandkid, consider giving them a subscription to Higher Things magazine. You can check it out at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page, or just call Higher Things magazine, their toll-free number, 1-888-448-2359, 888-448-2359. It's Higher Things magazine. When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us. I want to talk to her about at least one thing, maybe two if we can fit them in. But the first thing is a big anniversary for feminism. And Gloria Steinem and her co-founder of Ms. Magazine are out there in the press, on television, all over the place, just basking in the praise of the culture and of the society for 40 years of feminism, 40 years for this publishing icon within feminism, Ms. Magazine. We'll see whether or not Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is celebrating and what she thinks the legacy of 40 years of Ms. Magazine has become. a little bit later. We're going to review a sermon preached on the last Sunday of the church year. That would be this coming Sunday. The sermon was preached last year by Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. A good old-fashioned Issues Etc. sermon review coming up in hour two of Issues Etc. God has seen us in our orphaned position, and we were orphans entirely of our own fault. It was our guilt that orphaned us, that made us without any lineage, without any parentage in this world. Worse than that, we were lost, we were condemned, we were dead in trespasses and sins, yet by the blood of His one and only begotten Son, He purchased for Himself, He brought back to Himself all new children, adopted through the death and resurrection of Jesus, made children with a certificate of God's own word and the water of baptism. We'll be right back with hour two.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.